Hello. I'm outside again. If you listen to the previous podcast, I begun my podcast outside in the entertainment area. And then it started raining and I had to move inside. And I don't really like recording inside because the place where I'm recording is at the dining table, and I don't know, the sound just seems to bounce off the table and off the glass and the walls, and it's chaos. It's total chaos in there. And it's quite nice out here when you get the birds singing. There's a, I don't know, some kind of construction. Actually some very loud construction going on. Some heavy duty stuff, which is very loud. Hopefully that stops soon. So yeah, I'm outside. I've had a good week. Had my second physiotherapy appointment yesterday, and she said it's okay to walk unassisted every now and again to wean off my crutches. So yesterday I was taking my first steps without any crutches, which for maybe first steps in, I think, eight and a half weeks or something like that since I broke my kneecap, and so that was rather liberating. I feel like a new man. Just being able to walk and carry something at the same time is, it's a game changer. You should try it, because of course with crutches, you've got to be holding onto the handles of the crutches, which leaves little opportunity to carry anything. Can't carry a cup of tea or a saucepan or anything. I could carry something on the end of my finger anyway, so that was good. We've got a kawakawa tree on our property, and whoa, that was a bird flying over, and the tuis love it. They live for that stuff, the wood pigeons. So we often get, if you don't know, wood pigeons are a native bird to New Zealand. They're native, surely. Very big, very beautiful bird, which comes fluttering in and sits there on the property staring at us, which is cool. I learned about some shocking news the other day. As you'll know, pollution and climate change is the hot topic of the century. And as you can imagine, there are certain businesses and companies or organizations that are responsible for more pollution than others. And I learned that Google is the company that causes the most pollution, because what happens when you search something in Google? That search has got to be stored somewhere, and so that gets stored in a facility next to the ocean, and then when you delete your history, they've got to put it somewhere, and so they dump all your search history into the ocean, and then turtles eat it and die. So that's quite devastating to find out about. I should make it a prerequisite to listening to this podcast. The prerequisite should be you have to have watched all the shows that I'm watching currently, or have watched, because I want to talk about them. I want to chat about, bloody, I've just started watching Game of Thrones. I know I'm one of the 0.01% of the population that hasn't already watched it. But yeah, I've just finished a season one last night, and it's quite good. I see why you feckers harp on about it so often. Yeah, no, I knew it was going to be good. Yeah, well, yeah, good, man, yeah. I mean, there's always bad stuff in shows like that. You know, I talked about Sense8, the program Sense8 a while ago. I think in, I don't know, episode 4 or something. And I raved on about that, saying that I thought it was good, that showed a lot of in-depth diversity and things like that. But even still, even in that, there was still you know, language and scenes and stuff that reinforce rape culture and sexism. And there's I find a theme in most programs is the glorification of violence. It just seems to be in most things, like in Sense8, there will be like a scene where a couple of the main characters have just killed like 10 people, you know, baddies, but people nonetheless. And afterwards they'll have this sort of romantic moment, standing in amongst all these dead bodies, and have a little kiss, a little passion. It's like, and yeah, so they'll have this sort of passionate moment just after killing 10 people, and you just, I don't know, I find things like that rather unrealistic to start with. Like if you had just killed one person even, you know, you wouldn't be feeling frisky afterwards. You'd be flipping shaking, you know, you'd be going, holy crap, what have I done? And so, you know, and there's also moments in the movie where a female will kill someone or do some very impressive karate flipping move and you know, kill someone, and then the male looks at her in this sort of, and goes like, oh my gosh, I'm very impressed type of a way, and almost like a, oh, I love you more because of how impressive that was. And it's like, if your girlfriend just fucking killed someone with a gun, shot them in the head, the last thing you're gonna do is look at them and go, oh, that was sexy. You'd be losing it. Anyway, I'm nitpicking here because these are, of course, theatrical effects for theatrical reasons. Speaking of being theatrical, I'm not one to swear in RL, in real life, very often. I don't tend to swear very often. I do try to avoid it because I don't know. I think it's a good habit to get into, and it means that you don't have to adjust your register when you are in company of which it would be inappropriate to swear, like your grandmother or small children. Yeah, it's I don't know. I feel like it's unnecessary stress to be trying to you know, reach into the back of your mind for a whole new set of lexicon, for a whole new set of discourse, to completely change your discourse to suit the person you're talking to. That's called accommodation, by the way. Accommodation theory. Everyone does it. you change the way you're talking or behaving in accordance to how or who you're talking to. It doesn't matter like who it is or if you're talking to you know, someone with an accent. Well, sorry, everyone has an accent, but someone with a different accent to you, you might find yourself pronouncing words a bit more to sort of to suit them in an attempt to be understood or understandable, or you'll use less colloquial terms that you assume that they wouldn't understand, if that makes sense. And it's interesting to notice once you know about it. Once you kind of make that realization, you'll find yourself doing it all the time. Even if someone's just sort of I don't know, referring to something as whatever, you'll start using that word as well, just to be understood. And there's nothing wrong with it. That's it's a part of being a human and communicating with people. But I don't know where I'm getting at here, but that's interesting. Do you guys ever have moments of kind of, I guess you could say pure exasperation, with, I guess, humanity and the state of the world? I often wonder if it's even appropriate to have children in the future, just because of, I guess, the state of the world and how flipped up it is. And oh, sorry, I was just remembered what I was talking about. I said, speaking of being theatrical, and then I said I don't usually swear, but listening back to my podcasts every now and again, I noticed that I have been swearing in the podcast, but I don't swear very often in real life. And I guess that is, I don't know why that was happening. That was just maybe it's because the one podcast that I listen to quite often, Blind Boy, he swears like a sailor all the time. And I don't know, maybe I just subconsciously was, I said theatrical because maybe I was putting it on for the podcast, but I will endeavour not to swear from now on, because it would be untrue to what I'm actually like in real life. Okay, I'm glad I remembered to say that. But anyway, back to what I was saying. Yeah, I sometimes just have moments of going, the world is so flipped up that is it even fair to have a child and, you know, bring them into this world? It's like, you know, humans are, we're looking at extinction. It's all in the science and the studies and the research are all going like, this is a disaster, we need to shift things around pretty soon. And if things don't change, then you know, things, species have lived and died before us, and it's not beyond anyone's imagination that humans won't last forever. And we're looking at some pretty depressing state of affairs in present time. I mean, I am hopeful, and there's a lot of good happening in the world, and there's a lot of positive change happening all the time. But I sometimes worry that that it's not happening at a rate fast enough to keep up with the bad. But anyway, Jesus. I hope I haven't just sent you into a state of depression. in the first 15 minutes of the podcast. No, I definitely will have kids. Doesn't matter how stuffed up the world is, because I don't know. I think the opinion of, oh, I'm not gonna, you know, everyone's so stuffed up, I'm not gonna have kids because blah blah blah. It's like, I think having a kid and I don't know, I guess raising them to be part of the solution. And another person who, I don't know. Yeah, raising them to be part of the solution, I think, is has got to be better than not having children at all. And also, family is just such a flippin' cool thing. It's like, I don't wanna miss out on having a family and having some little mini me's running around, just because of the situation. It's like, might as well have a good time while we're here, I guess. I guess I kind of have quite positive associations with kids and the idea of having kids. I think a lot of people, not necessarily my age, but I guess predominantly my age, kind of sometimes have this this view of like, well, you know, kids just stuff up your life and ruin your career and all that sort of thing. And I kind of think like, well, what is your life if you don't have kids? It's like, yeah. If you're unsure what I'm getting at here, then you're not alone, because I've got no idea either. I was brought up in a rather alternative manner, might we say. And those of you who know me, or know my family, or, you know anything about me, might sort of know that, I guess my family's style of parenting is not your traditional or typical way of parenting. It's quite different, actually, drastically different from the status quo. But it occurred to me that even people who sort of know me well probably don't really know what it's all about, or why my parents have raised me the way they have. And it's called peaceful parenting. And I will now attempt to explain it to you. It's a non-punitive form of parenting, so you guys are going to be gobsmacked and shocked to find out that I was never hit, or smacked, or I was never... Sorry, I've just moved inside. Or grounded, or sent to my room for timeout. No punishment, basically, ever. And one might assume that I would be a total flippin' delinquent with no respect for anything or anyone, and completely spiraled off the rails in many ways, but I reckon I'm all good. Haven't been to jail yet, which is good. Haven't killed anyone. Haven't robbed any shops either. I'll attempt to explain what peaceful parenting is and how it works. It's not to be confused with permissive parenting, which can be in some ways just as or more damaging than authoritarian parenting. So permissive parenting is essentially, you know, the word no doesn't exist. There's no limits. Everything is allowed. There's no sort of saying that's not okay. It's basically exactly how it sounds. It's just ultra permissive parenting. Is you just let the kid do whatever the heck he or she wants. And I've spent quite a lot of time actually with some kids who were severely permissive parented, who were parented severely permissively, and I mean they were lovely kids. It's just that they didn't have the boundaries that they needed. So you would find the older kid, for example, I'd say, come on, let's, it's basically just the kids were so used to everything going their way that, when something didn't go their way or something that they wanted was not allowed for, obvious reasons such as, I want to throw my ice cream on the floor, and I'm going, no, you're not allowed to throw your ice cream on the floor, then, you know, hey, flip you, telling me what to do. My parents don't tell, my dad would let me throw it on the floor, mum would, you know. So there's, I guess the problems there are obvious and don't need massive explanation from me, I guess, but peaceful parenting is about, there's definitely limits. I'll share an example. I've kind of always known that my family is different, because of course I would go on, you know, play dates with my mates and go around to their place for sleepovers and whatever else. And I would always come home talking to my parents, going like, far out. I was at you know, Jimmy's house, and the dynamics were, I would come home basically just being kind of being a bit sort of shocked at how aggressive, I guess, everyone was towards each other, and how aggressive the parents were to the kids, and just a constant, I guess, exasperation, and like, there was just no holding back, and and so I would always come home going to my parents, jeepers, I was just at Jimmy's place, and Lord Almighty, was that World War III, or was it, you know, what the heck? And contrarily, people would come to my place and would be sort of going, what the heck's going on here in this place? And I specifically remember a friend coming to stay and verbally expressing the difference. He said that it's crazy. Your parents, when they ask you to do something, the way they word it is, would you be willing to do this? And then the response from me or my sister will be, yep, I'll be willing to do that. I'll do it in 5 minutes once I have finished talking to my friend, or once I've finished this puzzle, or whatever mischievous activities I was up to at the time. And he was like, that's in my house, the way it's phrased, my parents don't ask me if I would be willing to do something. They say, you are going to do this, and you must do this, and it must happen now. So these are the, you know, the direct orders, and there's no asking for permission. It's kind of just like going, you will do this, and you will do it now. And just using this this sort of small example to try and explain peaceful parenting a little bit, is the idea behind it is, on the receiving end, as the child, if your parent is saying to you, or your caregiver is saying to you, do this and do it now, no questions asked, the feeling that you're going to get is, well, you're not going to feel good towards them, are you? You're going to feel bossed around, kind of bullied, and the key part of this is the relationship between the child and the parent. And that's just, you know, I don't have to explain it for you to realize that that's not creating a positive, loving relationship between the child and the parent. That's and it's not cooperative, it's like, it's militant, if that makes sense. And some people think that being militant is, it's the only way to do it. You can't, you know, kids aren't going to do stuff if you don't frickin' tell them, do it right now or else, you know, bring in a whole bunch of, capital punishment and, shame and, oh crap, I've lost a word. Threats. You know, or bribery. You know, if you do this, you will get that, or if you don't do that, you won't get that. And so the peaceful parenting approach views, you know, the relationship, I suppose, between the parent and the child as the most important thing, and by asking the child, would you be willing to do this, the reaction from the child is nearly always more likely to help out, because you've got a choice. Do you know what I mean? It's like if someone I don't know, if someone said, would you be able to help me move house this weekend? I mean, like, you don't have to, but it would be great if you could. You'd be more likely to help them move house than if the same person said to you, I'm moving house this weekend, you're going to help me. End of story. You'd be like, first of all, you can take your house and stick it up your, you know, you wouldn't get a good feeling from that, would you? Even if it was your friend, you'd be like, who do you flippin' think you are telling me? Anyway, so that's the kind of the reaction and the emotional journey that a child goes through when you're asked to do something versus being ordered to do something. I'm only sort of touching on the tip of the iceberg, so to speak, when it comes to peaceful parenting, but that might give you a bit of an idea. I guess you could say the relationship is with peaceful parenting is sort of, it's being built on trust and mutual respect. You know, the child respects the parent, and the parent respects the child. It's kind of like, you know, treat others how you would like to be treated yourself. I suppose it's kind of like if your parent treats you with respect and you know, respects your boundaries and is the thing with authoritarian parenting is it does work in the short term. It definitely, there's no arguing that it works in the short term. Of course, if you say to a child, you're going to get in the car right now, or you're not getting dinner tonight. Well, of course they're going to get in the car, aren't they? And you look at that as a win, but what that sort of fails to address is the relationship between the child and the parent. If you're that child, you're going, my flipping parent is going to deny me dinner if I don't get in the car. And it's not instilling any kind of trust or mutual respect in the relationship. And what you get then basically is a breakdown in the relationship. And often with authoritarian parenting styles, the relationship between the parents and the kids is distrusting. This is like majorly distrusting, you know, the kids aren't going to disclose with the parents if they're going through something tough, or much less likely to be honest about whatever. And I don't feel like I'm doing a very good job at explaining this, but I hope it's making some sense. I guess I just kind of thought you guys might find it interesting to find out or learn about peaceful parenting and the fact that I've been raised slightly alternatively. We joke around a bit about me being a lab rat, the experimental child, but no, I'm genuinely very grateful to have been raised in such a way, because don't know, I feel like I've got a good relationship with my parents as a result of this. I don't have a lot of resentment towards them, and a lot of people do have a lot of resentment towards their parents, which is sad and sucks. And don't confuse this for me trying to, you know, my family is not perfect, and the way that my parents have raised me, you know, wasn't always perfect. And I'm not claiming to be a perfect person with the perfect family, of course. It's just different. And I thought it might be interesting for you guys to learn about it. This week's hot tip. There's never been a hot tip before, but this week's hot tip is validation. Because I think that validation is like one of the most important and influential skills that you can learn in interpersonal communication, like in friendships and relationships, or even just interactions with strangers. Conflict especially, because we as humans have sort of like a deeply seated desire for validation, and I guess that's why we have big rants and complaints with our best friends. You know, we want to tell them about what is causing us frustration or anger or disappointment, and what we want is to feel heard and understood and, you know, empathized with. We want our feelings to be validated, and that's why consciously or subconsciously we find it so satisfying to have a big rant or a rant, however you'd like to say it, to your friends. And it's why you know, that's why best friends get together and complain about things and go, oh, bloody this happened at work and flipping bloody blah. It's It's all about having someone else hear you and understand you and give you that validation. And the reason why that is today's hot tip is because this applies to conflict. You know, when someone's angry at you, it can be really hard to convince yourself to validate that person's feelings because you're thinking, nah, stuff this guy, he's being a nincompoop, so to speak. But validation definitely works in your favor if you're able to, I guess, muster the humility to say, look, mate, I can fully see and understand how I've pissed you off, or I can understand why you're angry. It automatically lowers that other person's guard. It sort of softens, it instantly softens them because they have no need to, I guess, be violent with their communication if they can see that you understand what's going on for them, if that makes sense. It's like a lot of the time the violent communication is like, you don't bloody understand what's going on for me. And if you can go, look, buddy, I fully understand and I hear you, and I can see that this has made you feel X, I can see rah-de-rah, then you'll notice the other person's kind of like, oh, good. You know, it's kind of like, it's like forgiving your enemies, you know? It's like one of the most powerful thing you can do is to forgive someone who's purposefully wronged you because, you know, you're not giving them the satisfaction. Well, it's kind of different, actually. But yeah, validation is very important, and you got to remember to validate, you know, your friends and especially your partners if you're in a relationship and your partner has an issue or a problem, and even if you don't agree with what they're saying, validating their feelings is so important. If they're saying, look, I'm annoyed that you didn't pick me up when you said you should have, and you're thinking, well, no, you didn't make it clear that you wanted me to pick you up, right? It doesn't matter, the semantics, you need to go, I can understand, and I can understand and I can see how you feel, because that's going to soften things and that's going to make the other person feel heard. And try it out. It's a very useful tool. You know, another thing I was thinking about earlier this week is changing your mind or like your standpoint or opinion on something. It spurred from a relative of mine who used to eat meat and used to actually actively be quite against not eating meat and against anyone who didn't eat meat in a sense. And he has since gone vegetarian. And he has, you know, explained that he's done it for environmental reasons, for animal cruelty reasons, you know, all of these reasons. And I was kind of, it sort of struck me a little bit, because I think it's very, it can be one of the hardest things to do, is to admit to others that you've changed your opinion on something. But I think it's one of like the most courageous, kind of commendable things someone can do. Like if you had a very strong opinion about something, for example, you thought electric cars are the worst thing ever and you used to bag anyone who had one, but now you've learned more about, you know, the state of the planet and global emissions and pollution and rah-de-rah, and you have a change of heart and the new information has shifted your perspective, it can feel like really shameful to let anyone know that you've changed your opinion, and people often don't fess up to it. they'll just, you know, they'll go, oh, okay, they'll realize they were wrong, and they won't admit to anyone because that would be, you know, because it can feel like you're going to look stupid. But from my perspective, I think being honest about your change of heart shows, like, incredible flippin' bravery and sort of humility to be, and because there's nothing wrong with it. There's nothing wrong with changing your mind or your opinion, because we're evolving humans that learn new stuff every day, and we learn, you know, how can you not have a big change of opinion on things when, you know, you're exposed to new information that, of course, is going to change your mind on things. So I try to be aware of that, and I try to be okay with admitting when, you know, I've changed my mind on something. I guess what I'm trying to say here is, if you've recently changed your mind, or if you've had a change of heart about something that you previously felt strongly about, then kind of being honest and open about that, people are going to view you as more commendable. It's like, wow, flipping good on that guy or that girl for you know, admitting that, because admitting you were wrong is something that's really hard to do, but it's also really important for a lot of reasons. Now, I'm not really sure why I'm sharing that with you or where that came from, but I don't know, they were just some thoughts that I had relating to a certain relative of mine. Back to the peaceful parenting. Of course, there's piles and piles of resources and research that all of that sort of stuff is based on, and there's a lot to it and a lot to explain, and I've kind of only just touched on it today, but I could go into it a bit deeper and sort of explain it a little bit more if you guys are interested. And you may not be. It may be totally boring, but send me a message after you've listened to this if you think hearing a bit more about peaceful parenting is something you're interested in. And if it is, I will continue this in a part two next Wednesday. But for now, I think I will wrap things up, because it is late. It's nearly 7 o'clock on Wednesday, and we had our internet cut out today because there was some bill that an $80 bill for some number that we didn't recognize, and we thought it was a scam, and tried to call Spark to pay it, and they said there's nothing owing and righty-right. And anyway, bloody internet got cut off today, and but that's been sorted, and I've got internet again, and that's why there has been a delay today. But because of that, I will cut this short so as I can edit it up and post it up to you lovely people. And as always, I'm trying to grow this podcast, because why the heck not? We're all going to go extinct anyway. And I don't know, it's a bit of fun, and I enjoy sharing stuff with you guys, and I enjoy receiving the feedback, and I enjoy hearing that you guys get something out of it, and that, you know, I get people messaging me saying they've learned something from that episode, or that episode gave them a different perspective on this, and or whatever, and that's awesome, and keeps me going.
Fuels my fire, just really pushes my boat down that stream.
So, tell a friend about it. Leave me a review. Subscribe to the podcast so as you get a nice little notification next time. And yeah, tell a friend and let me know if you want me to talk a little bit more about peaceful parenting and get into a few more details around that, because I'd be happy to. And for now, go in peace and enjoy the rest of your week, and have a good weekend, and I will talk to you guys next Wednesday.